I'd like to call the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee to order. We do have a quorum. The secretary noted we do have a quorum. We have members that may be moving in and out. We know where they're at, so in case we need them, we can get them. Just to let you know what's going, not going to happen, how we're going to conduct the meeting. As you are well aware, we need to recess at 9:30 if we aren't finished. We do have the room till 12. I have met with Representative Magnus and Representative Holberg, and I really appreciate the cooperation we've had. Basically, unless anyone has an objection, it's felt that we actually reviewed the bill because the minority did have the bill. We did give it to them earlier yesterday morning. I think the public wasn't aware of that, so it wasn't something new. So unless there are objections, we can basically dispense with a lot of the review, and we can take amendments and also testimony. We do have some technical amendments because we have some changes in the target. We have less money than we thought. We didn't have any money in the first place, but we have less than that right now, and that affects the general fund. I'm speaking of general fund monies. So we do have three amendments, which are basically technical, and we'll present those and pass those first, and we can have some discussion, and then we can take some testimony. And I will move House File, it's 946, to be... I will move House File 946 to bring it up, and then I'd like to move some amendments. You have copies of the amendments. In fact, if anyone is short of the any of the data that you need, we do have extra copies, but everything should be in your packet, except the amendments are being distributed. Is that right? You may not have the amendments yet. I think they're copying them, but we do have... We do have one amendment, I think, in your packet right now, and they're copying the others. The first amendment I'd like to move is H0946A1. And basically what it does, it in the bill... Did you eat two of them? Oh, excuse me. Oh, I guess we need to move the DE2 amendment. I didn't adopt the amendment. The DE2 amendment is basically the bill that you have before you. Any discussion? Any discussion or comment on the DE2 amendment? We'll move the amendment. If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Contrary, no. The amendment is adopted. Now we have the H0946A1 amendment, which basically deals with some cleanup language in the wheelage tax. It is in the bill the way it was presented, but this kind of concentrates the verbiage, and it does provide for exemptions for trucks over 26,000 trucks and motorcycles. Because that in the statute, sometimes the statute numbers refer to something and you don't realize what it is, and one of the statutes refers to motorcycles. So we have to show those deletions, and that's what this amendment would provide, to delete the motor vehicles over 26,000 pounds, which is basically the trucks, and also deletes the motorcycles from the wheelage tax. Is there any discussion or comment?
Mr. Chair.
Moral.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to confirm with Mr. Burris that authorized emergency vehicles are already exempt from a wheelage tax.
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, representatives, that's correct. The language of the wheelage tax is such that it only applies to vehicles that are subject to registration and taxation under the registration chapter.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Chairman?
Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would support the amendment not only because I have a motorcycle, but I have a truck too, several trucks. No, just kidding aside, Mr. Chairman, we're hitting the trucking industry pretty hard with this bill. And with the increased taxes and fees possible in here, and I would appreciate the members' support and for the trucking industry and excluding them with the from the wheelage tax. I think it's a good idea.
Thank you, Representative Magnus. Any further comment?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, just for your information, the motorcycles are currently exempted. The reason you see new language here is because of a structural move to make that section of law a little bit more readable with multiple exemptions.
No further discussion or comment. All in favor of the adoption of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The amendment is adopted. That was... Okay. I'd like to move the H-0946-A2 amendment. The... Mr. Burris, would you explain that one?
Mr. Chair and members, this amendment makes two changes to the 0.5%, the local sales tax. As you know, there's a 0.5% portion of the sales tax, but for motor vehicles, there is a $20 excise tax. And this adjusts it for both the taxes that may be imposed in Greater Minnesota and in the metro area. It makes two changes. One is to clarify or amend that it's all motor vehicles, not just new ones. And the second change is to have it apply only to motor vehicles that are sold at retail business sales as opposed to personal sales.
And Mr. Burris, again, that the previous bill exempted trucks and the other things. So that when we say motor vehicles, that's with the exemption that we had in a previous amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, I don't believe there is an exemption for trucks in this case.
In this one here?
No. It's a $20 excise tax on all motor vehicles.
Mr. Burris, we just exempted it in this one.
Mr. Chair, that's an exemption for the wheelage tax.
Okay, this is excise tax you're talking about?
Yes.
Any discussion on that amendment? I think it's a little confusing. If you just, again, we're talking, previously we talked about the wheelage tax, and here we're talking about the excise tax. Right. This is on the motor vehicle license. That's what we're talking about now.
This is on the sales tax, the local option sales tax of 0.5%. Rather than having that be a percentage sales tax on motor vehicles, it's a flat fee. Because
$20.
The high...
Yes, I understand it now. I see that. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Magnus.
Mr. Chairman, I think originally in the bill we had it on new vehicles. Why the change to going to all motor vehicles?
Representative Magnus, I think Mr. Burris said on vehicles purchased after, but Mr. Burris, would you clarify that?
Mr. Chair, members, it is a change from being only new vehicles to new and used vehicles. As to why, I would have to defer to the proponents of the amendment.
Further questions, Mr. Magnus?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't support this amendment. I haven't talked to our caucus about it, but switching from new vehicles only to all vehicles is, I don't think that's something that we should support. I don't know who's got the amendment up, but I would like, if we're going to tax, do an excise tax on vehicles, let's just make it new. That's bad enough.
Mr. Burris, I moved the amendment. Do you recall who requested the amendment?
Mr. Chair, I believe that the amendment was requested on your behalf by Dan Kane.
Oh, Dan. Dan, could you help enlighten us a little on this amendment?
You pay the excise tax. You'll simply make sales tax that counted
Mr. Kane, could you come up and say it on the mic so we get in the record? I think we probably didn't pick it up.
Put you on the spot?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Dan Kane, I'm DFL Caucus Research. And it's my understanding that the MVEST is paid on new and used vehicles when purchased from an automobile dealer. This simply makes that consistent with the sales tax, which will be imposed by counties under the bill, the half-cent sales tax the counties impose under the bill.
Ms. Magnus, you have any comment?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I still don't like it. I don't know how many vehicles are sold, but there's an awful lot of used vehicles sold, and our pre-owned cars, our vehicles, I should say. I don't know.
Mr. Chair, I wonder, I'm assuming these amendments may have someone from the audience who has talked about this. On this particular one, is there someone from the audience
who would be willing?
That's
why I had Mr. Kane. But is there someone in the audience that had suggested or was concerned about this amendment? If not, we'll temporarily lay this amendment to the side until maybe later in the discussion. We have another amendment. It's 80946A6, and basically this is an amendment that moves the numbers around because we had a less of a target in a general fund, and this adjusted the numbers in the bill as it was presented. It deletes some portion of the capital security and some of the what they call IT, which is the general security monies. That's the only money we have in our bill that we can actually affect because it's funded with general fund. And we had to make an adjustment in that. And this, because of the adjustment we made, and I'll have Ms. Zuers explain the adjustment, and then you can see why we had to change the numbers in the bill, because it decreased some of the numbers in the bill. It's basically a technical amendment to take care of the adjustment we had to make in the cut in general fund. Ms. Seward, could you comment on that, please? Well, did I move that amendment? I did, didn't I? Did I move the amendment? Okay.
Mr. Chair, members, the technical adjustments are based on it's the subdivision 9 regarding highway debt service, and we needed to correct the calculations based on the February 2007 forecast. The original numbers were based. I'm sorry, members. I was on the wrong amendment. This technical amendment is regarding county state aids and municipal state aids to remove the motor vehicle lease sales tax from the bill. And that is that would change the county state aid appropriation for 2008 to 4,800,000 $484,975,000, and for 2009 to $566,506,000. And then on line 7.4, it would change to $130,520,000, and for 2009 to it would change to $152,066,000.
Thank you, Ms. Sewers. And again, members, this is because that we had included, as you recall, yesterday we spoke of the fact that we included the motor vehicle or the leased vehicle sales taxes in our bill, and we couldn't, that doesn't come in our target, and we had to delete that out. So those monies that would have been attributed to the county state aid and municipal state aid from the leased vehicles were included in our original bill in numbers, and this amendment deletes those numbers out. It's not really taking any money away. They never had it, is what it amounts to, because we didn't have it in our target. Is there any discussion? Representative Holberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to be clear, that we will not receive any of the leased vehicle sales tax for transportation purposes. It's the decision of the VFL caucus, because, of course, we're hampered here because we don't have targets when we're working on an omnibus bill. So I just want to clarify for the record, the targets of the DFL caucus will not provide for that transfer to transportation, but that money will continue to be spent for general fund purposes. Is that correct?
That's correct, Representative Holbrooks. It's basically in the tax committee. You're correct. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, if we had any hope at all of getting it, you would have been able to carry it in this bill. So that decision is final and has been made. It's not up for negotiation within the tax committee's bill at all. Is that correct?
In my understanding, I was given that instruction right off the bat, and of course we're going to try through the process, I hope, somewhere that we can get additional money. And this was when this money was really kind of critical to our transportation division, is the fact that it would fund transit, basically provide some additional monies for transit, which we don't have.
And Mr. Chair, I think I can speak for the minority here that we are disappointed in that decision, and that it was one of the few ways that we could maybe get some existing money, additional money for transportation.
Thank you, Representative Holbrook. Any further comments or discussion? Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want you to know that from the outstate viewpoint that she's not just speaking for the minority party here. So.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Doty. Further comment?
We'll make it 100%.
Oh, Representative Hortman, do you have a question?
Mr. Chair, I just want to make clear it's not a viewpoint that's simply outstate Minnesota. I'm not happy with that either. So
that's good. Nobody's 100%. Happy with it. any further discussion? Yeah. Oh, Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I initially had a technical question about the deletion of Section 2 on page 35, but then I remembered that Representative Morgan made me ask a question a couple of days ago about where the leased vehicle section of the bill was, and that is actually it. But the excerpt and in-between members of this committee being one are also extremely unhappy with the decision, but
I think
we'll live within our means, I guess, on this situation.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Kalin. Actually, the question you asked, because it isn't identified, it's identified by a number, by section number, so you couldn't find it that easily, right? And it wasn't an intentional, but that's the way it's in the statute. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? No.
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 I better call it quickly. Motion. See. And it was basically a technical amendment. We needed it. That was the A6. And then the next amendment, I'll move H09468. And again, this deals with some corrections due to the changes we had. And this, I think, deals with the changes we had to make in the public safety portion. And Ms. Sewers, could you explain this one?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This is the amendment that I started to explain earlier. This is regarding highway debt service, and the changes reflect the February forecast numbers. The original numbers reflected the November forecast.
Is there any question as far as this amendment? Representative Hortman.
Ms. Ayers, which portion of the forecast went down to cause these numbers to go down?
That was a comment you made or a question?
Question. Mr. Chair, Representative Hortman, there are two pieces of that. First, within the bill, the 54,312, the numbers also changed because we had to recalculate them because the original numbers were based on the numbers that the governor proposed as well. So it was a combination of those two things.
Right. Okay.
Thank you for the question.
Any further questions? If not, all in favors of passing the amendment 80946A8, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? No? Oh, not no. The amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments?
Did you want to revisit A2, Mr. Chair?
Oh, yeah. Representative Magnus, are you prepared to comment on?
Mr. Chairman, I visited with a few of the folks here. I think at least I have a little better understanding. It appears to be common when we have a local option sales tax that many cities around the state have, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, and several others, the $20 per motor vehicle is assessed on all the vehicles, and that appears to be consistent then with what's going on. And I understand the suggestion from research that we do have that in the bill to keep that consistent with what's going on and in taxes with the other areas. And I've talked to Representative Earhart. He serves on the tax committee. Alice, are you on it too? I would ask that the folks that are on the tax committee look at this and probably get some testimony in on the tax committee on this item. I know we did have testimony concerning new vehicles when we had the bills up, and if it's okay with you, Mr. Chairman, we move it on. We would suggest that those people be contacted and asked to testify in front of the tax committee, and assuming the amendment passes, and we go on.
Representative Magnus, may I ask, shall we remove this from the table, or do you want to? We should act on the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I would move it from the table and act on the amendment. And
well, I appreciate it.
And we'll get it to taxes and let them sort out how we do the tax stuff.
I appreciate your explanation. I understand it a little better, too.
Yeah.
So, unless this, did everyone get what Representative Magnus explained? Any questions? If not, all in favor of the amendment, 80946A2, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? The amendment is adopted. There are no further amendments. If there are no further amendments, is it agreeable with the committee that we can, or unless there's some other discussion on the bill, we can take testimony. Okay, we can start with some testimony from, we have no list of testifiers, so if there are individuals in the audience that care to testify for or against the bill, we'd appreciate it if you could come forward one at a time. We have no one in the Representative Holmberg.
If there's no testimony, I just would first of all like to thank you for your kindness to the minority and getting us the information early yesterday, and certainly this isn't everything we had hoped for and some things that we had hoped not, but that's how this process works. But I do, for the record, want to state our disappointment about the leased vehicle sales tax. I know how hard it is to go into meetings with all the fiscal chairs and fight for your piece of the pie. When transportation comes up against public safety and education and health care, and it just never seems to win the fight, no matter who's mounting the fight, but I can assure you that the governor will continue to support the sales tax on leased vehicles being dedicated for transportation purposes. The minority in the House will as well, and maybe in the end game we can see that happen, because I think it's the right thing to do.
Thank you, Representative Holmberg. Further comment? Representative Ruiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, and I too appreciate it. I know you're a rural guy, and a lot of these issues are metro-rural. And I just want to, you know, thank everybody. We've got a great committee, and we certainly try to be as bipartisan as possible, and transportation is. But I just want to, for the record, express my disappointment again for the transit for the rural area, because we really are in trouble. We 5% or 5 really needs to be the minimum for the rural area. And in fact, we had testimony that we really needed 9%. And of course, we all could use more. But when we're looking at, I think we just have to understand and try to put ourselves in the position of those folks living in the rural area. We know that the population is aging. And as we're trying to get people, even to get groceries or get to the doctor, the rural transit is really, really important. And we just don't have the opportunities in the rural area that we do in the city. So I just want to hope that in going forward that maybe we can give a closer look to that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Ruiz. Representative Doty.
There's very little use in saying the exact same thing twice, so I won't say it because it was just said.
Thank you, Representative Doty. Further comments?
Mr. Chair.
No counter? Representative Moore?
I'll simply echo Representative Doty.
Thank you. Representative Hortman.
Mr. Chair, there's just a couple comments I would like to make about the bill before we vote on it. Page 9, lines 29 through 33, and carrying on to page 10, lines 1 through 6, the property taxpayers and the taxpayers in Hennepin County right now are paying 50% of the cost of the operation of the Hiawatha Light Rail Line, and this is not an appropriate way to be funding transit in the metropolitan area. This should be paid for out of the MBES funds and out of the Metropolitan Council budget. And I oppose the idea of Hennepin County paying 50% of these operational costs. It's not a model we want to set going forward. We don't want other counties getting stuck with this on other rail lines. We should be acting as a region, and we should be paying for those costs together. With respect to the balance between Greater Minnesota and the suburban and metro areas, I want to say that I understand the compromise that the new CASA formula will only apply to new revenues, but I'm very disappointed that the CASA changes won't apply to the existing 20 cents of the sales or the gas tax. As a metro area resident, looking at the CASA money and with 83% of it going to Greater Minnesota, as a suburbanite and somebody who lives in the metropolitan area, that's not fair. That's an unfairness that persists in this bill, because we can't get an agreement to change that unfairness. With regard to the total amount of the gas tax, I'm also disappointed, because what we're looking at is getting to two-thirds of the point that we were in 1988. When we last raised our gas tax in 1988, we raised it from 17 cents to 20 cents a gallon. At that time, had we indexed the gas tax for inflation, our gas tax would now be 34 cents a gallon. We're looking at adding 10 cents when we really should be talking about adding 14 cents, and we should be talking about indexing the gas tax for inflation, like Wisconsin did. We've seen our gas prices go way up, and none of that is being spent on our, those increases aren't being spent on our roads in Minnesota. Wisconsin suspended their indexing after Hurricane Katrina and the horribly high gas prices. They still stand at 32 cents a gallon. And it's an embarrassment to me that Wisconsin's roads are in better shape than ours, and that's because they made a commitment to ongoing support through indexing their gas tax. So I know people are going to portray this bill as very rich on the gas tax and portray 10 cents as a lot of money in gas tax revenues, but getting to two-thirds of the purchasing power that we had in 1988 is not a bill that's too rich for my taste. It's a little too light.
Thank you, Representative Hortman. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I share certainly some of Representative Hortman's concerns about the Hiawatha language, and I know that towards the beginning of the session there were some conversations with some of the regional transit groups, and I think we do need to head towards this regional system. And you're absolutely correct, Representative Portman, that we don't want individual counties to feel that they're going to have to share a disproportionate share of the burden when they build these new lines. But overall, this is a good package, Mr. Chair, and while not perfect, and I think we can look at different provisions that we don't like, the message is clear. We have a balanced way to fund roads and transit in the state. I think we have a balanced compromise on the MBEST. I think 36535 is certainly, I think, better than most of our rural colleagues may have expected at the beginning of the session. It's certainly a compromise for us in the metro area with, you know, the amount of transit needs that we have. And I again would concur that this doesn't get us it funds just maybe 60% of the need or half the need, but that's a lot better than nothing. And so I think the message that we're sending to our colleagues and the governor is it's time to move Minnesota forward, and this gets us part of the way there. And I especially want to thank not only the members of the committee and the transit subcommittee that worked so hard. We had many, many hearings out in not only the suburban communities but in St. Cloud, and there was a strong and clear message through those hearings that we have tremendous needs to fund transit, and that people are using transit. Consistently, we heard that park and rides are full and that people really want more opportunities and more choices. And so those hearings were really a highlight for me to get out into the communities and to hear from people. And I really want to thank all the different stakeholder groups that participated not only in those hearings but really with us consistently through the session. Very valuable input, and I think there's a real strong partnership between this committee and those that were really concerned about transportation. I think that Mr. Chair, you and Representative Earhart helped to set that tone and set that partnership, so I really appreciate the work that you and Representative Earhart both put into this bill and making our committee function so well. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would have, of course, very much have liked to add an amendment to this bill that said legislators and groups all across the state are hereby directed not to ask for one more penny for their road or their transit service unless they, in fact, are willing also to help raise the revenue for that. I think that issue of continuing to ask for mine, whether it is roads or transit, without also being willing to share the huge effort it takes to put the sufficient revenue on the table, I believe needs to be something that we, in fact, take responsibility for and to be part of the solution.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. And I'd have to say, in that respect, I know that Representative Hoberg and the previous chairs in this committee have seen individual legislators coming out with just many bills for individual projects. And that's one thing I think you all recognize we can't address because we just couldn't operate that way. And if we would add those up, I think that would add it up in the previous committee and what we have in this committee right now, without the ones even opening it up, we have over $1 billion in requests for projects. And you just can't do it. It just doesn't work. But I do know that it is hard feeling sometimes when you don't hear that type of bill. And again, I appreciate your comment. Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To that point, actually, I appreciate Representative Hausman's perspective and wisdom a great deal. In fact, as a first-term member, hearing from not only the more senior colleagues on this committee over the course of the session, but also the other first-term members and the diverse perspective that we bring. I had a very frank discussion with my area project manager this week. I ran on this issue. My community's project in North Branch, which has been on the drawing table for several years, will not happen without passage of a major a major, major bill that moves the state forward, but also will move my own community's urgently needed project forward. And I've thought a lot about it, Representative Houseman, about how do we balance our own specific needs with our statewide need. And so I made sure that my project would happen and that the other projects that my community needs would happen under this bill. And I think that we have a real duty to stand up and take the tough votes and say, you know what, we're ready to move Minnesota forward, that the people who drive on our roads should pay for our roads. And I think that's the other message that I think we need to make sure that the people in Minnesota understand, is that with the gas tax addition that we have here, we are asking only that the folks who pay for our roads, the folks who use our roads should pay for our roads. That it's dedicated money, that and it does go straight into new pavement and new projects. And having considered it quite a bit and spoken with almost every member on this committee about the bill, I think it's the right thing to do, and I'm really proud to be a part of the committee that's going to move it ahead and move Minnesota ahead.
Thank you. Actually, the members are really helping me. I don't have to make any speech when they're here. Representative Nelson.
I'd just like to tie on to what the last couple of speakers have said, and that
early in the morning.
I don't look at this as, it's a reasonable bill. I think it's a realistic bill, what we think we can do, but it doesn't go anywhere to start to fund the 20 years of underfunding we've done of roads. When we're sitting here talking about needs in the rural area, needs in the metro area, needs in different areas of the state, and we're fighting over that, it's like we're fighting over the table scraps. This bill, to me, is not big enough. We should be being more bold. We should move forward. If we want to move into the 21st century we're in, and we want to move forward, we should be working to replace these roads and start improving them and getting the transit back on here. Like I've said in the transit subcommittee, I think back to the transit system that my father used to talk about when he grew up in Minneapolis, where you could take a train from Stillwater to Lake Minnetonka, you take it from Anoka to Hastings with a seamless system. And we tore that up and threw it away, and now we're looking to replace that, and we're looking to replace the roads that people are driving on. And like I said, this doesn't go far enough, but I understand it's a realistic budget, and it's what we can do, but we need to continue to work on this and continue to work forward to try and get new revenue. And I agree with Representative Houseman that when people come forward and want projects in the area, they should be able to stand up and willing to raise the revenues that we need to fund those roads instead of just talking about their need and not being willing to step up to the plate and do the job of funding them.
Thank you. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I spotted the representative of the auto dealerships and took that amendment that we were discussing, and she's disappeared now. But she will be back, I think, if we can stall a little longer with...
We did pass that amendment,
We did pass it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had delayed it to the tax committee.
No.
Okay, well, I think it's all right, but she's sticking into it. The other thing, Mr. Chairman, I haven't seen the numbers yet, unfortunately. I think they're in here somewhere, but without the... lease vehicle monies for Metro Transit, they're going to be in serious trouble. I mean, I think we're talking shutdown of some of the lines and layoffs of personnel. And so we're going to have to try and fight with whoever it is that wants that money for taxes or whatever else they want it for. So we're going to have to make an effort to get that back. But all in all, I think we're doing a little more sensible thing here than what the Senate did. I just briefly looked at that in the morning paper. I think they found some other ways to tax, and we're not. Maybe they'll pass along their extra taxes in the conference committee.
Thank you, Representative Earhart. I don't know if they have any more money than we have, but sometimes it appears that way. I'd just like to comment again. The bill that the committee put together, basically it's a committee bill, that was most of the part is from Representative Earhart's previous bill and Representative Hoberg's bill, and a bill that I presented is a composite of all of the bills. And I think we've all made a pretty good statement. It's a start. It's not everything everybody wanted. And a lot of times they say if nobody's happy, It's the best thing you can have. And if we had one side was really happy, we'd have one side be really ticked off, I'm sure of that. But if there are no further comments, I think, we can be out of here. And I think perhaps, not that I'm soliciting a whole period of things, but I think a lot of this testimony that the individual members gave was really basically the testimony that we would get or will get if someone cares to come up. We're open for additional testimony for a short time. Representative Medora.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been sitting here a little quietly because, as you know, I presented a transit bill that was, in my opinion, fair and balanced for the state. And I guess I would like to add another member, a population, to this discussion that oftentimes is overlooked and when we're talking about transit. And that's the 14% of our population that are disabled. And they rely on transit in order for them to work, in order for them to get to their doctor's appointments, in order for them to get to any sort of activity for them to do outside their home. And I'm a little upset about this. By taking away our leased vehicle sales tax, we're saying to that 14% of the population that cannot buy a car, because you cannot buy a car, you have no say at all in how we're going to run transit here in the state of Minnesota. And I'm very, very upset about that. And I think we really need to be conscious of this population, because as we age in the state of Minnesota, we are going to be looking at more and more people demanding services that they might not be able to have a finger in the funding pie for. And I think I would have liked to have seen us have more of a discussion about that before there was a decision made about leased vehicle sales tax. And I'm sorry, I'm just the people. I have gotten probably 150 emails since I had this transit bill introduced saying, thank you for talking about us. Thank you for giving us a voice at the table with transportation. We can't buy a car, but we need to be able to get around. So I guess I just didn't want to end with everybody else giving their opinion on this. I think we need to be very conscious of all of our citizens. And the 14% that need to get to work today are going to be on our county's doorsteps tomorrow asking for assistance because they're no longer able to get to their jobs. They can't get to a job and get home from their job on the current transit system that we have here today in the state of Minnesota. So I guess I would like to make a comment and address that.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Medora. I think we're all pretty conscious of the fact. I certainly have been with the transit advocates and transit community. There's no doubt about it. We need the money. We don't have it. And I mean, I don't know much more we can do. I recognize in the metro and also the rural area, they have a supposedly a 2020 plan. The 2020 plan in either the metro or rural will not be met. In fact, we're going to be fortunate if they could keep the same level of a service they have next year with a little bit we put in it. I think we're really on a maintenance. We are on a maintenance type. We certainly are not increasing either rural or metro, there's no doubt about it. And that's something we're going to have to keep on working on for that type of funding. Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to just follow on Representative Medora for one moment. I had two public health nurses in my office yesterday describing to me elderly folks in my area who are waiting in parking lots for up to 2 hours till the next public transit bus can come and pick them up. Describing to me mothers with their children waiting in the rain for hours for the next public transit bus to get them to the doctor, to get their children before a physician. So not only is it a transit and transportation issue, at least in many of our areas, it's also a public health issue, of which I have deep concern, and I do recognize that we're doing the best we can with the funding that we have before us. I do want to express at least my hope that the gas tax portion of this will go through, because if it does not, I have deep concerns about the House of Cards.
Thank you.
Chairman?
Representative Magnus, I was expecting you should talk, too.
I hate to be the only one not talking, so I hope finish it off. But first off, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you for your professionalism and working with us and myself personally and the other committee members, and we've heard discussion today. Some of us don't like the bill for this reason or that reason, and that's probably a good thing.
I am disappointed we're not getting any one-time money. You know, with the budget situation as it is, and I know the last budget forecast kind of spooked a lot of people, but, you know, when all of us sit around this table and we talk about transportation, our job isn't done here when we get the bill done, because we've got to continue the fight to advocate for transportation with our colleagues. Because as Representative Solberg said and others said, we get overwhelmed by education and health care, and we need to keep advocating ourselves for the one-time monies. I'm disappointed the sales tax on leased vehicles is not in there also. We've got to advocate for that as our committee and fight for that money. Others are, you know, there's only so big of a pie out there. And I hate to see us leave the room and then say, well, you know, and then the next committee meeting you fight for more money for education, and then you fight for more money for health care or more money for energy, what else we're going to do, or fight for agriculture. If we don't advocate for transportation as a committee, I don't know who else is going to. And those two items are key to us, so we try to get some one-time money, and especially the sales tax on motor vehicles. I started adding up the funding here when we were hearing some of the talk earlier about the bill isn't enough. And, Mr. Chair, I'm looking at a $340 or $50 million increase in the gas tax, about a $25 million increase in wheelage tax fees, $60 million increase in license tab fees. And, Mr. Chairman, I live in the border counties. I have three border counties. And I visited with some of them yesterday that were up here, one of my counties, and they said, well, it looks like we'll get a bunch of South Dakota vehicles back, their license plates back in our county again. That's a concern for us in the border areas. If in fact all of the counties do indeed do the 0.5% sales tax, that's about $371 million a year that would raise for transportation. And we included about a $30 million excise tax as part of that. So we're at over $800 million in taxes and fees we're increasing this bill so far. And that's not to mention the fees and the other things that we put in for Department of Public Service and others. And I don't dispute those, and I do agree those are needed. But when you total it up, we're getting close to $1 billion of increases in taxes and fees in the bill. And I don't know how we can say that's, you know, we can feel it's not enough probably, but to have us go to the taxpayers and the folks in Minnesota looking at a $1 billion increase is pretty staggering when we're seeing the economy, I think, a little bit on shaky ground. I do appreciate the bonding that's in the bill, members. You know, as costs increase, it just makes sense if we can borrow the money at a cheaper rate that we bond for as much as we can, in my view, personal view. But, Mr. Chairman, I do have concerns with almost a $1 billion tax and fee increase in the bill. But again, if we don't advocate for transportation, who's going to? And I expect, Mr. Chair, that this, hopefully the bill passes. Hopefully we can get some more money out of Ways and Means or the Tax Committee. We'll at least have a little sympathy towards us and not hog all the money for everyone else. Give us the sales tax on leased vehicles and help us out in that regard, because that is really key for us. But again, Mr. Chair, I expect the bill to pass. I expect the bill to get to the floor, pass. I also expect the governor to veto it. As he's mentioned many times in no uncertain terms, he's not going to support a gas tax increase for sure. And Mr. Chair, I hope we can continue to work down the road if indeed the governor does veto it and work as a strong committee here. I really do appreciate the working relationship we've had, and I hope we can continue to do that.
Thank you, Representative Magnus. Representative Magnus, if I may, the potential is for $1 billion, but I would just assume the sales tax options for a lot of counties probably won't be implemented. So we don't want to get the media saying we raised $1 billion, because I'd rather be lower than the Senate at this point, because they should catch the heck, not us. And again, unless there's some members from the public, we have a few minutes. Apparently we have one or two coming up. We'll take some short testimony, and we will, members of the committee do have meetings at 9:30, so we'll be sure to cut off by that time. And we'll take the vote before that time. We have, would you identify yourself for the committee, sir?
Yep. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Bob Vanasek, and I'm representing the Minnesota Intercounty Association, which is an organization of 13 counties, five of which are in the Twin Cities area, and eight are in greater Minnesota. All session long, Mr. Chairman, you've been hearing from transportation advocates pointing out needs for additional funding, both before your committee and at hearings that Representative Hornstein's subcommittee has been having and holding around the Twin Cities area as well as in greater Minnesota. And in fact, you've been hearing from many of us for years. I brought along copies of my testimony before the Transportation Committee from April 22nd, 2003, 2005, and, you know, I could practically read this again. I won't, other than to say that the needs are even greater now than they were 2 years ago and what they were 4 years ago and prior to that. Maybe what I will do is just share with you a statement that I read that was made in January of this year from Thomas Donahoe, who is the president and CEO of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, when talking about this issue. He said, "Our nation faces no shortage of crises, real or imagined. Anyone with an axe to grind or an agenda to push characterizes their issue as a crisis that requires immediate attention and usually lots of money. The term is so overused, it's almost become meaningless. But real challenges emerge that, if not met, will have profound impacts on the quality of our lives and our ability to compete in a global economy. Transportation infrastructure is one of them. We know the implications because we are beginning to live them today. Decreased productivity, more congestion, more delays, and more safety threats to each of us individually and as a nation. There are no simple answers to these complex challenges. One thing we know for certain is that solutions will require innovative technology, great political will, and yes, lots of money." Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vanasek. We will take, we have one proponent, and perhaps I better make certain if we have two opponents, we will definitely have to cut it off 9:15, because we have to, some members are, we'd have to recall some members for the vote. So at 9:15, if we could, if we have Ms. Loverell, perhaps if there are two opponents, we'll give them equal time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Carol Loverell with the Association of Minnesota Counties. And we want to thank the committee for this bill and the recognition that local units of government also have transportation needs. We have gone a long way in trying to demonstrate those. You've heard testimony, like Mr. Vanasek said, year after year. Inflation is eroding our purchasing power. We can't do anything more and produce more projects without more funding. The property tax is being impeded by this. We are seeing property tax owners paying for county state aid highways that carry our major freight generators and carry much more traffic than their local communities. So we would appreciate this year and this bill becoming a reality. The gas tax, the tab fees, and the wheelage tax and the half-a-cent sales tax will move Minnesota forward and provide resources both for highways and transit. And we appreciate your work, and we really hope this bill becomes a reality. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Lumber. Are there opponents that would testify? We are going to discontinue testimony at 9:15. Are there any opponents? If not, we will move the bill because we'll have to call some members, and if the pages could call the members, we'll be prepared for the vote, unless there are any objections. Oh, Representative Kale? No, we don't have. We've got. Oh, okay. She's coming.
Mr. Chairman, I am going to ask for a roll call vote on the bill.
We should call the members. The page would call the members. Right? Any further discussion from committee members?
Gabler is first on the list.
Representative Magnus.
Yes, sir.
Just for the record, so we can get organized, would you make your motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we... I would ask for a roll call on the bill, and...
Representative Magnus asked for a roll call. We'll have a roll call on the bill. We're recalling some members that asked to be called in case there was a roll call. So we'll just temporarily take a break for a few minutes. Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, it appeared that maybe there were a few more people who were interested in stepping forward to testify if we're waiting anyway for members that they might want to come forward.
That'd be fine. I'd like to give equal time with their opponents. Representative Holbert.
And Mr. Chair, could you just give us some idea of what you expect in this committee for next week as far as having our bill already out but having 2 weeks left till fiscal deadline? What's your... are we going to be meeting next week? If so, to do what?
Representative Holbert, we will be meeting because we have a policy bill to get out. So we have a lot of referrals to this committee, which is basically policy, which we don't have in the bill. So we will have meetings every day in this committee and the policy committee.
And, Mr. Chair, so do you expect to put your policy bill together next Thursday?
We hope we would have it together by that time, Representative Holbert, correct?
Okay, and then is it your intent to meet after policy deadline the following week?
It's something we had intended that we didn't need to meet, but we thought we might have a opportunity for hearing of some of these people that wanted to have a bill heard, which we wouldn't move or act on. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Mr. Chair, that's fine. I'm trying to get a handle on this bill leaving so early before fiscal deadline is a little unusual, and
trying to
get an understanding what future work was before the committee and what the time frame was.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
My name is Sarah Erickson. I represent Metro Area Cities. Just two things. First, I'd like to thank both Chairleader and Representative Hornstein. You guys have done a great job putting this bill together. From a Metro perspective, we have pretty big concerns with the lease vehicle being pulled out. Quickly doing the math, so it may be a little off. It's $34 million short of the governor's recommendations for 08 for Metro Area Transit, which I'm sure you can all understand is a great blow to Metro transportation. And second, as far as the Metro Area Sales Tax goes, I really appreciate the committee putting it in there. We would hope from a Metro City's perspective that we could, as the process moves forward, include some city representation on the Joint Powers Board and possibly include all seven counties in the discussion. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Margaret Donahoe. I'm the Legislative Director for the Minnesota Transportation Alliance. And briefly, I'd just like to really thank the committee for all your work on this bill. Our members are very supportive of this bill. It's a very strong, comprehensive transportation funding bill. It certainly doesn't meet the entire need that's out there, but it's a great first step to finally have some legislation that just about every group working on transportation has been calling for an increase of some sort in the gas tax and the license tab fees because they are our constitutionally dedicated user fees. So we're very appreciative of all the hard work that you've done and the bill that you've put together. I'd also like to echo the concerns that have been raised about the revenue from leased vehicles. From our perspective, the voters spoke on this issue on November 7th when they said that motor vehicle sales tax should be going to transportation. And we doubt that very many people made a distinction between vehicles that are purchased or vehicles that are leased. And that this really should be treated as the same way as the motor vehicle sales tax. It's a user fee. And we really do need that revenue for transportation. So, again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Donahue.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sherry Munyon representing the Minnesota Public Transit Association. And I just want to say that although I know that the committee worked very hard in putting this bill together, we're very disappointed that the lease vehicle revenue isn't there, that it will be a hardship on transit systems statewide, and that we think there's an opportunity to make that happen as we move through the process and conference committee. And we urge you to do that and keep in mind in the metro area, we are looking for 38% MVEST in greater Minnesota, 8.8% MVEST. Those were the numbers that were put out for implementation of the plan. So instead of delaying the plans, we'd actually like to implement the transit system plans, and we need more revenue to do that. Lease vehicle revenue is the way to do it, and I hope it'll come back from conference committee with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This will be the last testifier.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rob Bonasek here on behalf of the Minnesota Association of Townships. And townships have been on record for quite a few years written in our policy statements supporting a minimum of a 7-cent gas tax. As I've stated, as of this week, in each and every one of the four tax committees in the House and Senate, this bill is property tax relief. Townships, the amount of money that we expend on roads is over 50% of our expenditures, and our property tax levies on local property taxpayers have doubled from 2000 to 2004, and we urge you to pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. The chair will renew his motion that House File 946, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Finance Division. The Finance Committee. Any comment or discussion? And not, the roll call has been requested. And the chair votes aye. And the clerk will call the roll. Excuse me.
Beard?
Aye.
Leader?
Chair votes aye.
Doty?
Aye.
Earhart?
Yes.
Hausman?
Yes.
Holberg?
No.
Hornstein?
Yes.
Portman?
Yes.
Kalin?
Yes.
Mador?
Yes.
Magnus?
No.
Mason?
Yes.
Morgan?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Ruth?
No.
Severson?
Yes.
Slocum?
Yes.
There were 15 yes and 3 no's. The amendment is adopted. Or not the amendment, the bill is passed. And again, thank you, members. I appreciate the cooperation, again, from the minority, especially, and all the members. The meeting is adjourned till next Tuesday.